Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz Chemda Tova Rechava, is daf Mem Chet, and we're holding at that Halakha Mishnah right at the top. And hopefully Richie's all ready today because he's got a lot of extra problems to pay him overtime today. So we start with the continuation of the first Mishnah, which mentioned that Hallel and Simcha goes for 8 days. So just like we started in the first Mishnah, and then we continue with going through each one of the steps that the Mishnah mentions and analyzing them. Here too, this Mishnah is a direct continuation of the previous Mishnah. So Hallel v'Simcha Shmona that you mentioned, Ketzad, explain that. Melamed shechayav adam b'Hallel uv'Simcha uchvod yom tov acharon shel chag, since it says over here for 8 days, now that means that even though on the surface you would have thought that the idea of Zman Simchatenu and the Samachta is all in terms of Shivas Yomim, so you might easily have thought that this does not include Shmini Atzeret. And this teaches us that actually it's not true. The mitzvah of Simcha and the mitzvah of Hallel, and this mitzvah of Simcha, it would include actually having to eat from Korban HaShlomim, which is, okay, this is another mitzvah of Simcha. Besides, Bizman HaZeh, there's Bechlal a mitzvah of Simcha Sechag, if you don't have the Shlomim. How do we know this? Minani Mili, ask the Gemara. I mean, it says, V'samachta b'chagecha, and that is in the context of Shivas Yamim. Chag HaSukkot, tase lecha Shivat Yamim, it says. V'samachta b'chagecha, ata uvincha uvitecha, and so on and so forth. But where does it say anything about Shmona Yamim that the Mishnah should come along and tell me that there is another mitzvah even on the next day? Answers the Gemara, well, look ahead at the next pasuk. Shivat Yamim tochog la'Hashem Elokecha b'makom asher yivchar, and then it says v'hayita ach sameach. What do you need to have that for? V'hayita ach sameach. You just said v'samachta b'chagecha. That extra pasuk v'hayita ach sameach, that is coming l'rabot leile yom tov ha'acharon. So this comes to tell me that even the nighttime of Shmini Atzeres, I'd say even the nighttime, because, I mean, the normal mitzvah of Simcha would be to bring a Korban Shlomi, right? Those are called, actually, Shalmei Simcha. You can't bring that at night. So, therefore, if this is coming to tell me that even in the nighttime, Yer Chayev, it would tell me that the Korbanos that you brought on the seventh day of Yontif of Sukkot, those need to be available for eating at night in order to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Simcha on Shmini Atzeres nighttime with the Korbanos that were brought on the last day of Sukkot. Okay, that's wow. No wonder we need a pasuk for that. But how do you know that it means that? I mean, in the context of the pasuk is referring to Chag HaSukkot, right? So doesn't it make more sense to say that the Chiddush of the V'hayita Ach Sameach is to tell me that you might think that you do not have a chiyuv of eating a Korban Shlomim on the night of Yontev of Sukkot, the first night of Sukkot, because you're able to bring a Korban at night, obviously. So the would mean that the chiyuv of the Korbanos of Sukkot would actually click in only on the next day. So isn't it more reasonable to say that if the pasuk adds an additional mitzvah that we wouldn't have known, it's not a mitzvah outside of the Shivas Yomim, which is what the psukim we're talking about, it's a mitzvah within the Shivas Yomim, except it's to add even the first night of Sukkot. And how would you be Mekayim on the first night of Sukkot? You would have to bring a korban on Erev Sukkot. This is very similar to what we do on Pesach. So on Pesach, we have the Chagigat Arba Asa in order to be able to mashlim the Achilas HaPesach al HaSova on the night. So this would mean the same thing. Erev Sukkot, you'd have to bring a korban in order to be Yotzei the V'samachta B'chagecha on the night of the first day of Sukkot. Says the Gemara, no, doesn't mean that. Because the Pasuk is saying, Vehayita ach sameach. So ach sameach is a miut. And it's telling me, do not add even the things that you want to add additionally. And therefore, it must mean the last night. I don't understand. I asked you, how do you know that it doesn't mean the first night? I didn't ask you, how do you know it doesn't mean the first night and the last night? I mean, you're telling me Ach Sameach has got to be Mamayat something. I understand, so maybe it's Mamayat the other way around. In other words, the Pasuk Ach Sameach, Ach is always the same as Rak. In other words, there's a Mia, don't include everything. Okay, so I ask you, what is more reasonable to include? The first night of Sukkot or the last night of Shmini Atzeres, meaning the last night of the Shmoneh Yomim, which is the night of Shmini Atzeres? What's more reasonable? In a pasuk that's referring to V'samachta B'chagecha, do you not think that it's more reasonable to talk about the first night? So Mara Ita L'Rabot Leila Yom Tov Achron L'Otzi Leila Yom Tov Rishon. Why in the world are you doing it in that strange way? Because Mar Bani Leila Yom Tov Acharon Sheyesh Simcha Lefanav. So there's two ways of understanding this. One is, in terms of the carbon per se. In other words, on the night of Shmini Atzeres, there are carbonas available to be yotze the mitzvah of simcha b'achila shlamim, because you needed to have anyway a shlamim on the day before. On the first day of Sukkot, you can't possibly bring a carbon shlomim at night. So when would you bring that shlomim? The pasuk would be bechayev you to bring shlomim before Sukkot. I mean, that's a big, big chiddush, right? That's one way of understanding it. The pashtus of Rashi is that he understands it in terms of the concept of simcha. In other words, in the same way that we used before the svara of yesh kedusha lefanav, but that's more reasonable that we would be mechayev. Same thing is true over here. If we've already been misameach for shivas yomim, it makes sense to continue that mitzvah of simcha. Masha ain't came to be mechadesh, a mitzvah of simcha where we didn't have one on Leil Rishon, where there wasn't simcha before. So that's more difficult to be mechadesh. In other words, a chiddush to start the concept of simcha is a greater chiddush than the continuation of an existing kriya of simcha. Okay, that seems to be the way Rashi understands it without getting into the inyan of the Korbanos Belaila. And now it's time for our favorite kapitan. Now that was a clear-cut application of Ach Sameach. We mamayit a little bit the Kayach of the Simcha, and Richie just wanted to give us an illustration of how that would feel. But as you'll see, the next Mishnah is going to be, whoa, that's not going to be just Ach Sameach. By the way, there's a beautiful gra, you should know, that points out that the simple meaning of Hayita Ach Sameach is so classic gra thinking. The simple meaning of Hayita Ach Sameach is that we're referring to a period which is specifically only limited in its simcha. So in other words, if you're going to compare the inyan of Sukkot, where you have all of these mitzvahs of Sukkah and Lulav and Esrog and the Nisach HaMayim, the whole sense of the tremendous simcha of Sukkot. So what would be meant by adding the words Vayita Ach Sameach? Even so, a little bit Sameach. That's the leftovers, right? So therefore, the very word Ach Sameach is a reference to Shmini Atzeres, because it means, and even if you've only got a little bit to be Sameach with, Vayita Ach Sameach, so you could be Sameach like that too. Isn't that beautiful? So that way, the simple meaning of the pasuk is merames already to the idea of the Shmini Atzeres. Okay, continues the next Mishnah. Sukkah, Shiva Ketzad. So we said that there is a mitzvah to be in the sukkah for 7 days. What this means is 7 full days. Gomar milechol lo yatir sukkato. Just because you finished your meal on the last day of sukkahs does not mean that you could take apart your sukkah. What if you have guests? What if you decide you want to eat more? What if you get tired and you need to take a nap? What if you want to learn things that are mechayev of sitting in the sukkah for? So you have to keep your sukkah up there. However, there is a little bit of a problem. That is that the last day of sukkahs is also Erev Shmini Atzeret. And since there's a chiyuv of the covenant of Yom Tov Ahron, so from the time of Mincha, Morid et hakelim min haMincha v'lemala, you could take all the beautiful things into your house in order that you should have your table ready for Shmini Atzeres. That you can do once it's after Mincha. So it's within the time of Mincha Ketana. Mipnei kvod Yom Tov Achron Shochan, because over there we're doicha the perfect requirements for the sukkah to be everything, as long as you'll have a kosher sukkah. Fine. Now, the question would be, how about if you don't have anywhere else to go for Shmini Atzeres? So then anyway, you're going to run into another problem. Because it's all very nice to say you have to do something to be mamayit your sukkah in order to be meichin for Kvod Yom Tov Ahron. I understand, that's very sweet. But I mean, let's admit that there's another problem. The other problem is that you need to do something so that if you are in your sukkah beyond the time of the Shivas Yimei Sukkahs, it will not look like you're being over on Baal Tosif and that your kavana is to be in the sukkah despite the fact that you're not chayiv in the sukkah from the Torah. So by taking your things out of the sukkah, you're basically showing I no longer want to keep the mitzvah of sukkah. But how about if you don't have that option, you don't have anywhere else to eat? Basically, you're a person whose entire property consists of this sukkah. So what are you going to do now on Shmini Atzeres? So ein lo kelim lahorid ma'os. Suppose you don't have any way. You don't have any kelim. What do you mean you don't have any kelim? What did you use the whole sukkah? What, you just stood in an empty building? Ein lo kelim. I mean, ein lo makom lahorid kelev ma'os. What if you don't have any other place? You're going to be in your sukkah. So what could you do to make your sitting in that sukkah mutter so that it shouldn't be an iser of Baal Tosif? So Pchia Barashi Omar, Pochet Ba'arba'a. What you need to do is you make a 4 tefachim wide space in your schach, and that way you're passeling the sukkah. Tosis points out, what do you mean? You never need 4 to pasel. Avir shloisha tefachim pasels. The only time that you need arba'a is if you're putting up schach pasel. Okay, so some say that's good for the pshat. It's not the derech to sit in the open sky. It's the derech to put something else up there. So pochet means take down the schach kosher and then just put up a tarp or something over the top of the sukkah. That's possible. Others learn that the Indian in Rashi over here of where he says in order to pasel, you need to have arba'a. What he means is that it should be nicker. It should be very nicker to people that it's a big opening. Others learn that it's gufa. It's referring to the space directly above his head where he will be sitting. And therefore, you want to make sure that if it's less than arba'a tefachim, so then the person may be rubo in the sukkah. If he leans over a little bit and so on like this, if it's arba'a tefachim, so then he would be for sure sitting not under the schach. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says he should light a candle because in the sukkah you don't light a candle. And this shows that it's not a sukkah. Now, the truth is this is not a machlokes. Because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is referring to people like us, which of course like us in the Gemara Bavli means like us here in Bavel. So in Bavel, we can't passel the sukkah because we're mechuyev to sit in the sukkah. Remember, that was our whole discussion yesterday, So if it's a Shmini Sofek Shvi, it's not going to do us any good to pass on the sukkah. We just first sit in the sukkah. So what could we do that would allow us to both be yotze with a sukkah kshera, and nonetheless that the rabbanon would be metaken, that we shouldn't confuse this with the thought that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, that we're supposed to be sitting in the sukkah? What would make it clear to us that it's only mitzad hasafek? So this, Reb Chiya Bar Ashi says, people that are living in Eretz Yisrael, so they can't obviously destroy their sukkah. So in order to make it clear, what they do is they light a candle, right? So the truth is, I just explained it according to only one approach. There's another basic approach, which the Rif brings, which is that this is a reference to the ninth day. So that if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you can't break the sukkah because it's yontif. So what would you do for the ninth day if you're sitting there and you don't have elsewhere to go? You don't have this eitzah of breaking down the sukkah because for you it's yontif. The seventh day to break down the sukkah is no problem. And that's what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was saying, is to take down, put in a ner. Okay, fine. So this is basically, this is the approach that the Rif takes, and it's the simple approach that Moel Rashi takes. However, the problem is that the other approach, which the Gro holds of, is Mechayev doing some heker even where you're going to be sitting in the sukkah. So that means it would be on the eighth day too. Says the Gemara, but Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi doesn't work very well if you've got a big sukkah, because we said before that you're supposed to, remember we had a contradiction in the brises. One brisa said, keep your candle out of the sukkah, and the other brisa said, take your candle and bring it into the sukkah, your neighbors. So how is this going to help if you have a big sukkah? Hotenach sukkah ketana. So then you're showing that you're not being machshav, this is a sukkah. Well, what if you've got a sukkah gedola where you're supposed to bring the neirot into the sukkah? What would you do then? D'mayle b'mani michlo. You bring in, remember we had a milchlokas before, mani michlo, whether that means pots that you cooked them in, or mani michlo means the dishes that you already ate in and that are dirty and you leave them in the sukkah. Okay, so you, here too would be the Omer Rav, but before mani michlo bar mimital alta, you should have your either, this means your cooking dishes, or it means your used dishes outside of the sukkah. Whereas mani mishtaya, glasses, they can be kept inside the sukkah. And now for the next demonstration of the v'samachta b'chagecha, as opposed to the v'hayita ach sameach, a word from our kapitan and the introduction of the next Mishnah. No. This was the one that was supposed to be the happy one. This is going to introduce the Sivchas Pesach Shoeva, the Nisach HaMayim, the trumpeting.
The need for pouring water. Yes, the need for pouring
water. For pouring water.
And what about lamps?
Sorry?
Lamps as opposed to candles. Nah.
You have this hang up. In our terms, it's the Ner Shabbos we're talking about.
I went to Ner Yisrael.
Okay, so now we're going to be talking about the entirety of the Nisach HaMayim. A lot of it is left out in this Mishnah, because the Nisach HaMayim actually begins really before, but this Mishnah starts only with the actual taking the Mayim from the Shiloach. And we're going to see later on, we'll get to the Mishnah that talks about what was done before in terms of Sivchas Pesach Shoeva and the going out to the Shiloach with all types of chatzotzrot blowing and so on. But okay, we'll start from the Nisach HaMayim Ketzah. So it's Tzluchichel, because we mentioned the Nisach HaMayim in the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah of the Perek, and we said that at Shivas Yomim, according to Reb Yudah, at Shmoni Yomim. So how exactly we've done the Nisach HaMayim? Tzluchichel Zahav, Machzeket Shlosh Lugin. According to the Tanakhama, it holds that the Nisach was done with three Lugin of water, which would be about the size of one of those giant 64-ounce American Coke bottles, you know, the 2-liter bottles, and we would fill this up and take it from the Shiloach and then come back into the Azora through the Shar HaMayim, which is directly next to the Mizbeach. Remember that? We had that back in Yuma. That was where the Kohen Gadol would be tevel on the roof, and it was the place where the Mayim is going to be coming out of the Beis HaMikdash HaSolasi Lovo. Anyway, so they got to the Shar HaMayim, and then they did a tekiah and a trua and a tekiah with the chatzotzrot, and then the Kohen, who was going to carry up the Mayim, he was Ola Bakevesh, and very abnormally made a left turn at the top of the Mizbeach. Now, we never make left turns, because remember, we have the whole sugya again and again, Kol pinot shataponeh lo yehe elo liyamin lemizrach. And over here, we're doing it lismo lemaarav. We're going to talk about why this was done that way later. But it turns out that where it's impractical to turn to the right, because if you turn to the right, in order to get to the place of the Nisach HaMayim, which was on the Dromit Maaravit side, you would have to walk around the entire Mizbeach. To walk around the entire Mizbeach exposes you to over 100 amos of smoke. And if you are carrying something that is sensitive to smoke, like Nisach, I mean, you don't want to expose your wine to that kind of thing or your mind to that kind of thing. And because of that, you did not go all the way around the Mizbeach. There's one other thing that you wouldn't want to expose to all of that, and that is if you're carrying a bird, which may choke to death by the time you get to the place where you would want to do the Malika. So because of that, there were three things, as we'll see, that are affected by smoke, where you would turn left. Okay, so he turned left, and he found there Shnei Sifalim Shel Kesef Ayusha. There were like these two silver cups on the Tzad Mayrav and Doraim. So it was basically right where you came up on the Kevesh and would turn left. And Rabbi Yehuda says, well, they only looked like silver. They weren't really silver. They were basically made out of plaster. And the only thing that turned them silver was the fact that they would get darkened to a silver-like color because of the wine that would be poured on them. Later on, we're going to ask, but you only poured wine down one of them. One of them was for wine. That was the closer one because it was Tadir. And one of them was for mine. So later on, we'll say, how exactly did that happen? And they were menukavim. So they had at the bottom, they had a spout on each one of these cups. Kimin shnei chotamim dakim, the two cups, look, that would look like two nostrils that would be extensions of the cup. One of them was thick, and one of them was a thinner hole. And that way, even though they were used for different viscosities of liquid, they would be engineered so that the same amount, note that the amount of yayin which was given to a keves is the same shear of the shlosh lugin, because that is the revi'i tahin. So you would have the same amount of wine and the same amount of water being simultaneously minusach. And it's very nice if they go down at the same rate. The problem is that the wine, being more vicus, will not go through at the same rate. And therefore, it was slightly wider to engineer the flow so it would be precisely the same between the wine that they used and the water that they used. Kadeshu Shneim Kalimba Batachat. We wanted them to finish up at the same time. The one that was closer to the Ma'arav, which was further away from where you got up, that one was for the water. And the one that was closer to the Mizrach slightly, that one was for the wine. And again, as I said, that's because Tadir velo Tadir, Tadir Kaida. So almost all of the Nisuchim were for wine. The only time we did for water was Dafka now during Sukkot. Now, if in fact you messed up and you poured the Mayim into the Yayin one or the Yayin one into the Mayim one, you would still be Yotzin. It's not that there was some kind of a magic that it had to be this one or the other one. Now, what exactly, where did these things go down to? Now, that's a big machlokas. Rashi understands that when you poured from these kosot, then they would empty out from the keren onto the surface of the mizbeach. And on the mizbeach, there was a hole that went drained down directly into the shittin, which were the pipes that went underneath the mizbeach, which we're going to be learning a lot about later. And so there was a brief moment in which the water and the wine would actually be on the surface of the mizbeach. Tosfos argues, Tosfos says that the cups themselves, the Zephalim, went directly to the Shittin, and at no time did they pour out directly onto the Mizbeach. The Rambam has a most different Shita than all of this, and the Rambam says that the Zephalim were actually on the Yesod, and they went directly to the Shittin. And you would pour from the Sove to the Yesod, which is a completely different way of looking at it. There's a lot of discussion about the Rambam, but even though the Kesef Mishnah explains maybe there were two, but it's clear the Rambam himself says, Kamo Shebi'arnu, which means it's going back on what he said before about the normal Nisuch. Fine. In any event, this is the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda, I remember that Rabbi Yehuda we had before that he disagreed in two things. First of all, he said it was not three lugin, it was one lug. And secondly, it was not 7 days for the Nisuch HaMayim, it was 8 days for the Nisuch HaMayim. Okay, getting back to the story. Now, the one who was doing the Nisuch, the Menaseh, they would say to him, lift your hand up, buddy, let's see what you're doing. Why? Because pam achat nisech echad agabei raglav. Remember that the tzedukim, they have a lot of problems with sukkahs, right? Because we had, first of all, the issue of arava, which was one of the halacha l'moshe b'sinai's, and they don't like halacha l'moshe b'sinai, so we had the baitusim putting the big stones on top of the murbias that were brought up from Otsa one Erev Shabbos, remember? And they didn't like the other halacha l'moshe b'sinai. What was that? Arava v'nisuch hamayim. So they didn't hold it in nisuch hamayim. So basically, one guy who wanted to be mekayim the non-mitzvah and make sure that it wasn't done, he pretended to be pouring out the water, but he was really pouring it out on his toesies. And meanwhile, he thought nobody would catch on, but they did catch on. Vurgamu kol ha'am betrogehem. They stoned the guy, some say they stoned him to death using their esrogim, because we'll see that there were some people that didn't use esrogim. They used real stones, but they didn't want anybody to see. Anyway, and that was a disaster, as we'll see. This was actually a horrible maisa, which was the beginning of the end for the Prushin, because this turns out, at least according to the way that Josephus brings it and others of the Frum historians that base things mostly on Josephus, that this was really a tipping point, it marked the open shlita of the tzedukim on the Beis HaMikdash, from whence came all of the problems that we spoke about in Yuma and so on. So it was done dafka on purpose, according to some. And it was the moment that the government openly embraced the Tzedukim and killed thousands of people because of this. And it was a disaster. I mean, you think some of the things that we have are unbearably painful. And you take a look at what was going on at that time. I mean, to think of living in the Beis HaMikdash under these circumstances is just so incredibly heartbreaking that it just interrelates Hanukkah with Sukkot so profoundly in the need to combat Minim and Minus and Yovan directly because of the Inyanim of Sukkot on many levels. So, k'maaseu b'chol, kach maaseu b'Shabbat. Now, the same way that we did Nisach HaMayim during the week, we would do it on Shabbos. But, I mean, we couldn't possibly go and carry from the Shiloach into the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbat. So what did we do then? Well, the difference was, of course, that we would be memale the Mayim for the Nisach HaMayim on Erev Shabbos. And we brought this Chavit Shel Zahav, She'ena Mekudeshet. It needed to be this big barrel. Of course, it wasn't just a barrel. This was for use of something so beautiful and so important, which was the Nisach HaMayim. Remember that the Nisach HaMayim goes... There's very profound issues over here, because the very fact that it was in the Nisach HaMayim that you had this awful machlokas of the Tzedukim with the Purushim is an amazing thing, because the whole inyan of the Nisach HaMayim is the kiyum of the bechia of the Mayim HaTachtonim to the Mayim, that they wanted to be mechuber to the Mayim HaElyonim. And it says in the Medrash that was the moment that started all machlokas, right? As the Zohar brings, all machlokas began with the, that's why we don't say kitov on the day of Vayavdel Elohim ben Hamayim Asher Mi'al HaRakia and Hamayim Asher Mitachat HaRakia. The only day in the year that we make up for that is the Nisach HaMayim on Sukkot, where the Mayim HaTachtonim are brought up and are poured up on the Mizbeach in order to be Mekarev them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the meaning of a karma. So the fact that that was done in order to be metakein, the original source of machlokas and breakup, that should be the very place where the Maaseh Satan of the breakdown between the minim and the ma'aminim should have such a mokum tvisa is just a horrific thing. Anyway, so there was a tremendous chashivas to the Nisach HaMayim, besides the din of bringing a brocha to the Mayim of Kol HaShana, to the Parnosa of everyone, and everything that was so people looking so forward to the moment that they could finally be in a position of Adam in Gan Eden and be mispalel on the Mayim and bring Mayim to the world. Dafka then they had to do such a horrible thing. But so on Erev Shabbos, they used gold as a davar chashuv. So they took a barrel full of gold that was made up, covered with gold. And it needed to be a non-kli sharet. And we'll see later on, the reason it needed to be a non-kli sharet is because the mayim would be nifsolim belina. Because if you made them kodesh, then you couldn't put them in the mizbeach on the next day, because then they would already become possible at sunrise. So therefore, they would put them in a chavit shazav she'ina mekudesha, which they filled up from the shiloach on Erev Shabbos, and they would put that in one of the lishakot to be covered there and to make sure that nothing would happen to it. And they would use it the next day, and it would be kosher after we poured it into the normal Tzluchis. Now, what would happen if it was nitgalta and then became pasul, or if it spilled out? So then you could take even water. The truth is, you could take water from the kiyor. All of this was done as a deeper sign of what it is that we're doing. But the kiyor itself, remember, was lowered into the ma'ayanot that are underneath the surface of the Beis HaMikdash every night. That was the Muchani. Remember, we had the machine that was lowered at the Kiyor, and you could hear that. That was, you could hear the gears even all the way to Yericho. So if you needed to, you could use the Kiyor. Because Hayayin v'amayim migulin pesulin legabe mizbeach. If you were megala then, so then you weren't able to be use them onto the mizbeach at all. Now, one of the reasons, not stam because it's a bizoyan and have to have poison in the water, but it's because you have the shear of the water. Suppose a sheretz actually was shoyser from the mayim and left some of its own venom in the mayim. Since we were very medactic on the shear of the nisach of shloi shalugin, so then you wouldn't have a full shloi shalugin. You would have shloi shalugin chaser mashu for the venom. So because of that, we couldn't use megulim on the mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, where do we see this inyan of the simcha being meiria, v'tokeya, or meiria, as if we have to make such a big fuss? Minane mile, Omar Rav Ina, the Omar Krah, Usha'avte, Mayim, Bisason, Mima'ayne HaYeshua. So the Ma'ayanot of Yeshua is, in fact, this is also a remez that it should be Dafka from the place where Malchus Beis David came, because this is, that's where we go to the Shiloach, because Mashiach ultimately comes from the Malchus that was transferred from the Mea Shiloach. Okay, so that's a remez that you're supposed to be very happy. Besosay. Hanu tre mine. So there were these two minim. One of them was called sosam, and one of them was called simcha. And sosam said to simcha, you know, I'm obviously better than you, because it says in the pasuk, sason v'simcha yasigu. So what comes first, me or you, Sason or Simcha? Obviously, Sason comes first, and this would be Uvo Tzion Barina. Sason v'Simcha is Yasigu v'Nasu Yagon v'Anacha, and that puts me up front. Whereas Simcha says, nah, on the contrary, I'm better than you. Omer l'Simcha v'Sason, ana adif v'minach. Dichtiv simcha v'sason la'yehudim. You see, on Purim, come back. You see, on Purim, it says that dafka simcha comes first, and then comes sason. Omalei sason la'simcha, you know, let me tell you something. Your future is written in the stars. Chad yuma shavkuch, one of these days, you're going to be just thrown out. V'shavyuch parvanka, and they're going to make you the parvanka to get things done, the gopher. Remember, where we have parvanka? The Pinchas story, right? Karyana di igarta ilevi parvanka. The guy who read the letter should be the one to carry it out. You're the gopher, so go kill the guy. Remember when Pinchas came and said that, Rebbe, didn't you teach us that Abel Arami is going to impregn us? That's what he said. Okay, so this is the parvanka. So they're going to turn you, Mr. Simcha, into a parvanka. Because it says, keep a simcha teitzeu. You'll be going, you know, this guy, Simcha, he's going to be leading you. He'll take care of everything. Just follow Simcha. So then that means you're going to be the guy who's doing all the dirty work, you know? You think I got problems? One of these days they're going to throw you out and you're going to become the water drawer for the whole world, the whole country. You'll draw all your water with sason. So you better practice those muscles, Mr. Sason, because you're going to be very busy. Another guy who was a min, whose name was sason, said to Rabbi Abbo, Atido de temalu li mayim li almada ati. In Olam Haba, you guys are all going to be bringing me water. Dechtivu shahafte mayim besosain. You're going to be bringing water to sosain. Said Rabbi Abbo, you idiot. If it would have said shahafte mayim li sosain, fine. But it says shahafte mayim besosain. That means that since you obviously have no place in Olam Haba, but it's a nechama for you, because what they'll do is they'll turn your skin into a water bottle and they'll use Susan's body to bring all the water, lasilamo, because that's the same thing. The Efer Tachas, the Tzadikim, will be all of the Minim and the Apikursim. So you're going to be Zeicha, that they'll take your skin, they'll strip your skin off your body, and turn it into a water bottle, and they'll bring mine. That's what it says. So Hashavachtiv Bisa sign. It means Mashke da Ugavra, Mashvina Leguda. Umalina Bemaya, so we'll make you into this water flask and we'll draw all the water with you. There's tons of very important elements that are discussed over here. There's Bechlal, the Malbim has a beautiful discussion of the difference of Sosan and Simcha, and the idea of Sosan being something that is expressed externally, which is unfortunately much of what is done in Bote Knesiot of Minim, in which there's no simcha, which is internal, but there's a lot of jumping around and dancing and singing and so on and so forth with zero content. And that has to do with the whole content issue over here, and as the Malbim explains it. But okay, we'll save that maybe for Hanukkah. But these are all hachonas for the inyonim of Hanukkah. We go directly from Minus into the idea of the Beis Hamikdash needing to find the Mokum of Tyre. Then we said, the truth is, all other cases, you go up on the right side of the Kevesh, and you make a right turn, and you go all around the Mizbeach, and Mekif in Viyordim, and you come down, Derech Smol, on the Kevesh, after having gone all the way around, 360 degrees, and now you're coming back down on the left side where you got off. But there's three cases where that's not true. Chutz min ha'olah l'shlosha dvarim alalu. There are three things where you go up on the left side of the Kevesh, and when you get your job done, you turn right around and come back down the way you had gone up. Ve'eluhi, nisuch ha'mayim, nisuch ha'yayin, and the olata of kisharapta b'mizrach. Now, the truth is, when the Olas Ha'of was normally done, it was done on, remember, on the upper part of the Mizbeach. But that doesn't mean it was done on the upper part of the Mizbeach, meaning you had to stand on the top of the Mizbeach while the smoke was. What it means is that, if you recall from our learning in Midos, there was an exit ramp off of the Kevesh that went directly to the Sovev off of the right of the Kevesh. So the Kohanim would go off at the exit ramp and be on the Sovev, which means that they were standing above the halfway mark, which is Of Lamala. There would be Yotzi over there. However, sometimes there were so many Olot Ha'of that needed to be brought, remember, because that was going to be done for the Yoldot, and so on. There's an awful lot of that. So if there was too much of a line at that corner, so then they would turn to the left, and they would do it on top of the Mizbeach. There was no choice because there was no exit ramp on the left. So basically, they would go all the way up to the top of the Mizbeach, which also is kosher, obviously. And that would be the case of Olat Ha'of Kisharavta B'Mizrach, when there were too many on the right side, which is towards the east. So then they would go to the other edge. And then they would turn right around and come back down. So Rashi says, why would they turn right around and come back down? Because you want to minimize going the wrong direction. Remember, it's a one-way. You know, well, you want to have these kohanim going the wrong direction on a one-way street. The issue is that they're all going clockwise and they're supposed to be going counterclockwise. I mean, you want to minimize as much as you can of that kind of nonsense, right? Whereas Tosfos says, no. That's not the problem. The issue is that if you go up that way, so then you're basically going counterclockwise. And then you're doing the right thing. Because then what you're doing is when you turn left, and then you turn left again, and then you turn left again, and then you come down again, so then that's Gufa doing what you're supposed to be doing, right? You're basically constantly going in the counterclockwise direction, right? So imagine your footsteps going up the Kevesh, then like this, then like this, then like this, and then back down. So therefore, why does Rashi have to come on to that? The obvious reason that Rashi has to come down to his pshat is because you're not turning to the right. So who cares if you're going counterclockwise? It's the kopino shata ponelo yeyelo liyamin. So he still has to, he's still got a problem. Rashi is saying, therefore, we want to have as little of that kind of behavior as possible. So Mimela, instead of going all the way around, it's kedai to come down this way. Okay, very good. So now continues the Mishnah to say that according, we said, actually, they weren't even made out of silver. They were made out of plaster, but they looked silvery because the wine turned them silvery color. I understand why the one that was made for the wine was silver, but why is the one that was made for water silver? The Maya Amay Mashkir. Ah, because Kiva, the Omar Marira, Shomayim, the Tok Shoyayim, the Shoyayim, the Tok Shomayim is Yotza. So since it could happen that you would put the wrong one down the wrong one, so Shomayim is also Atilashkure. Just by the way, I should mention to you that the Rambam understands the Mishnah to mean, if you mixed the wine and the water together, not if you separately put them into different ones. So I mean, according to him, there's a lot of discussion. So why is it still kosher wine if it's been diluted with the water and so on? But in any event, that's how he learns. And then the Mishnah continues on, Minu Kavim, Kimin Shnei Chotamim, except that they were different sizes, in order that the water and the wine should empty at the same rate. Well, why wouldn't they empty at the same rate, asks the Gemara. Aren't they both liquid? Do you mean to say that the Mishnah is only going like Rabbi Yehuda and not like the Rabbanan? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, there was a big difference in the amount. It was 3 lugin of wine, and it was only 1 lug of water. So that would make sense why we would need to have a different size. But according to Rabbanan, who hold that both of them are 3 lugin, why would we need a different size? Are we going to say that Lema Matnitin Reb Yehuda v'lo Rabbanan? It's not Reb Yehuda omer belog hayamanasech koshmone. Because I Rabbanan, it's the same exact amount, 3 lug and 3 lug. Says the Gemara, no, you're forgetting something. Vicosity. Even if it's going according to Rabbanan, wine is samich and maya is kalish. So there is therefore a much slower emptying of the wine than there is in the water. So the water will flow slightly faster. And by the way, this is for sure the pshat, but don't think that it's because of Rabbi Yehuda. Because the language doesn't actually work for Rabbi Yehuda, you know? How can I maybe stop it? Because if what you mean is the difference between 3 lug and 1 lug, then it is not the correct thing to say that it's kotzer, I mean, that it's mu'uve or dak. That means thick and thin. Thick and thin is not enough of a difference to account for 3 times the flow. And in fact, Rabbi Yehuda himself, when he describes the differences between the one for the mayim and the one for the yayin, he uses the word wide and narrow, rachav v'katzar. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda omer shnei kasvaot hayu sham, echad shel mayim v'echad shel yayin piv rachav, shel mayim piv katzar. Now that is much more meduyak for a large difference in flow, because the idea of you're saying that they're just slightly mu'uved, slightly dark, that accounts for vicosity. That doesn't account for 3 times the amount of material. And therefore, on the contrary, if you want to be medayik anything, be medayik that it's not going like Rabbi Yehuda. And there, the difference would be, Kadesh Yek Shneem Kalim Bevatachat Shmamina. Indeed, the Mishnah is the Rabbanan and is not Rabbi Yehuda. And the one towards the west was the one for water. And then the Mishnah goes on to describe how the Kohen poured it out on his feet and so on. Tana Rabbana Maaseh B'Tzeduki Echad Shenisech Agabei Raglav Uregamu Kol HaAm Be'Etrogeya. Now, you think it was only Esrogs. Believe me, It looked like Esrog, unless you were on the receiving end and you got your head bloodied, and that won't know Esrog, because they other people were throwing rocks. And Oto Ayom Nifgema Keren HaMizbeach, one of the rocks hit the Keren HaMizbeach. This is like horrifying to think about. And they actually broke the Mizbeach on Sukkot at the time of the Nisach HaMayim. It's just horrifying. I don't know how they took it. I mean, it's hard for us to take what we've got, but this is just awful. So Evil, Bul Shamalach. So what did they do? They brought a big piece of salt and they put it into the hole on the Mizbeach. Not that that helps. You can't be Machsher a Mizbeach by making it out of salt. The Mizbeach was pasul. But Bibnei Shelo Yerah Mizbeach Pagum. I mean, it was a horrible thing to see the Mizbeach with a hole in it. I mean, so just that it shouldn't be visible, they closed it up, but they weren't able to bring any of the Karbonas. Couldn't use the Mizbeach at all. Mamish, a disaster. And that's because Kol Mizbeach She'ein Lo, if a Mizbeach is missing, either a Kevesh or a Keren or a Yesod, or it's not perfectly square, and this Mizbeach is missing the Keren because the Keren had a big hole in it, so it was no longer a square Keren, or it wasn't. This is a big issue that we'll discuss tomorrow. I want to be able to learn it. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, needed also to have the Sovev, because we learned that out from the copper that was around the Mizbeach of the Mishkan, that's also Ma'akev, because it says HaMizbeach in all of these cases. All right, we'll go over this last piece.